Night had fallen on Acana, and clung about the rooftops and bristling antennae that crown the old refinery like weathered tombstones. No light of moon was there, and the stars kept silent vigil, distant and cold as the grey sands that flatly stretched the horizon all around.
"The pale won't know what hit them,"
Crim said, whispering despite the relative safety of the ship around us. I sensed the anticipation in the man, sensed it in all the men about me. The soldiers huddled like the Achaeans in the bows of their wooden horse. Each one of them seemed to be holding his breath.
"They better not," groused Pelino. "The fleet's still 3 hours behind."
"Heat sinks are holding, my lord," said the pilot officer, reassuring. "Only way they'll see us coming is if they sight us out a window."
I knew the pilot was right. The Ascalon was the fastest ship in our fleet, a Chalice-class interceptor whose massive heat sinks made it possible to mask its sublight emissions for days, thus making it invisible to heat and light detection and perfect for such stealth missions as ours. It was a small ship, a mere 500 feet from end to end, its hydroponics and life support systems designed to support an active crew of perhaps 10 men and few creches to sustain another 40. A small compliment, but enough, I prayed, for our task. 3 hours. We had 3 hours to secure the Yamato fuel works at Verde Planum. Peering out the slit window, I could clearly see the silver line of the bundled Hadron colliders. Fully operational, the machines produced kilotons of antimatter a day, iron hearts synthesizing the volatile substance from the collision of the smallest quanta to fuel the sector's starships. In the distance, I could make out the silver domes where containment silos waited to be hauled from Akana's surface to high orbit. Without antimatter, our starships could not travel faster than light's slow speed. Without Akana, the local capital at Nessus, and by extension, the great mass of the Imperial Navy in the Centaurine provinces, was as good as crippled. It was a cunning target. It was not like the Sea Elsin to choose cunning targets. Not like most Sea Elsin. Something of my disquiet must have registered on my face, for Pelino asked,
"You all right, Haid?"
I snapped my attention to the other man, found him watching me with shrewd eyes. When I'd first met Pelino on Emesh centuries before, he'd been a grizzled old soldier, one-eyed and scarred. Decades of loyal service to myself and to the Imperium had won him a new eye and a second youth, while I, whose Palatine genetic advantages promised me centuries, had grown older. Pelino had slept for nearly 100 years on ice aboard the Tamerlane, while I had served as counsellor to the Magnarch on Nessus. I had passed him by, but even still there was a spark of almost paternal concern in the once older man's face.